Now, you see, if you would have been given the responsibility to open the Word, you could be wearing a coat. And I'm telling you, wasn't very comfortable outside with his coat on. I waited to get here, but it's nice now with the coat on. So, does anyone have any idea what I'm going to speak on tonight? I see a hand. It's what? A certain psalm. Does anyone know what that certain psalm is? 119. And you know that each one of these eight verse sections in this psalm start with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Do you happen to know which one we're going to take up? Give me the letter of the alphabet that we're about to take up. What? He. He. H-E. He. I'll tell you, this is a very interesting study, and it's worth repeating. You know, in this psalm, 176 verses, and with the exception of one verse, every verse that we have mentions the Word of God, and there are 10 synonyms that are used to identify the Word of God. It's Word, it's saying, it may be way, path, testimonies, judgment, precepts, statutes, commandments, and law. Very interesting. Each one of those identifications, words that are identifying the Word of God, have special meaning. This psalm, this part, this eight-verse series from 33 through 40, is interesting in that it comes to us, every one of the verses in this psalm is a prayer. We're here for a prayer meeting. And you've heard this said so often. If you need to have something to jumpstart you in praying, open the Word of God. I heard that a long time ago, and believe me, it's true, and it works. Sometimes if you say, I just can't get to praying, I just can't seem to get in the mood of wanting to pray, I can't seem to identify anything to pray about, open the Word of God. Begin to read. I like the Psalms. I like Proverbs. These books, sometimes they're called the book wisdom books, but they do something that kind of plants in your heart a desire to say something to the Lord about what you've just read. And that certainly is true in this psalm. Let's read from verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy ways. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. And let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're gathered in this place this evening to read the Word of God, to have the Spirit of God make this Word real to our hearts. Yes, Lord, we do need you to teach us the truth in thy word. And we're so thankful for the Holy Comforter that came down from heaven above. That wonderful God, that teacher to us of all that is found in this wonderful book, the Word of God. So our God, tonight, as we examine each one of these verses, as we think upon it as the cry from the heart of the psalmist for need in his own life, that we'll benefit from it. Each one of us will go away from here saying it was good to be here and it was good to hear the Word of God. And that each one of us will purpose to spend time daily reading the Word of God, having you to speak to our hearts, having you provide us with clear direction in how we should walk this pathway of righteousness down here. Do receive our thanks now and bless us to the end that Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior, will be glorified. We do ask this in His name. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statute, and I shall keep it unto the end. You know, shut up to yourself and without any information at hand, think about it, it would be hard to learn anything. But with help provided and someone to teach you, you can learn a whole lot. Some can learn more than others. Some are more receptive to teaching. Some have minds that are quick and alert, and they learn things. In this case, we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about a message from the heart of God for His people. Someone else has already had an experience in which this could be counted as being true. What is said in this psalm, every word, comes from the heart of God to us. It's an inspired, God-breathed message to us. In this case, I could picture the psalmist as he wrote this, "Teach me, O Lord. Teach me." A lot of emphasis today is placed upon education. There are many that contend that you'll never be successful in this life unless you are educated. A lot of truth in that. What can you do? What can you do? What do you know? All of these things point to the fact that we need to learn. I have to tell you tonight, you'll never know anything about God until you read the Word of God. You need to get that in your mind. I need to get that in my mind. Oh, no. All of the vain philosophical things that are being stirred around in the world today, they will enhance and make more real to you that message from heaven. That's a lie. Light and truth come through the Word of God. Don't you ever forget it. You may read a book and you say, oh, this is wonderful. I like this. Many wonderful things are said. True. But you be careful how everything you read, how you apply it in your life, because it may not be true. It may be something that someone is fascinated by. They may put a lot of stock in it, but it may not have any true value for you as far as learning how to obey and walk in the pathway of righteousness that God has designed for you and for me. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. That word end, in many cases, by some translators, is given as heel. And in other words, it's the last part, the most insignificant part of it. I'm not going to forget any of the Word of God. I don't take anything in this book lightly. You say, well, that's not very important. I'll just gloss over that. I'll just pass. Oh, no. Oh, no. It is the Spirit of God that makes the Word of God real to us. There's some people that you like for them to deliver you a message, perhaps, of hope. Maybe it's your doctor bringing to you a message, and you delight to hear what he's got to say. He says something to you that you're interested in, something that you want the right message. Well, the psalmist is saying when God speaks to us, we need to listen. We need to really listen. That message will be very meaningful for you and for me. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. I had to turn to John chapter 16. You can turn there if you like, but these verses are just a reminder to me of how the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized the fact that he as a teacher, one that had taught his disciples many, many things, but to fortify those things that they had been taught, they were going to need further help, follow up, if you will. In the 12th verse of the 16th chapter, it says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Our God wants to show us something. Our God wants to teach us something. The psalmist was aware of the value of receiving God's message in his heart, understanding what he was receiving. He wanted God to be his teacher. There are many fine teachers of many, many, many things in the world today. Many, many people that can take the Word of God and teach the Word of God to you. You know one that is truly dedicated to teaching the Word of God. This is what he will pray. Oh, may the Spirit of God fill me and empower me so that when I speak that Word, that it will be true and faithful to what God wants his people to know. Nothing else. Ad-libbing, saying something that God hasn't say, doesn't say, is not something that you should put much confidence in. Did God say that, or did man say that? Is this a thought that was generated in the heart of a poor sinner like myself? It's just something that he was fascinated with, as I said before, something that appealed to him, and he passed it on. I remember one time I was talking with a fellow. I bring this out to just emphasize how important it is to be sure you know what the Word of God says. He said that the Word of God said that after sin had come into the world, mankind would earn his keep by the sweat of his brow. I hastened at that time, knowing what a stickler he was for detail, I said, that's not exactly what it says. He said, what does it say? I said, by the sweat of his face. The sweat of his face. Well, I don't think so. And we opened the Word of God, and of course that was. I say that because sometimes people get it in their mind because they've used perhaps a verse over and over many, many times, but they haven't quoted it very accurately. That's important. The psalmist says to us through this message that we have in the psalm, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the very utmost. Every detail of what you teach me concerning this truth, I will abide by it. Have you ever noticed that sometimes people will do a whole lot of things and go a long way to circumvent obeying what the Word of God has to say? Well, I'm just taking a little liberty with what it says. I don't think this is important. Yes, it is. All of it's important. You know how many people there are in the world today that have circumvented the cross and they've left it completely out of this business of being saved, and it doesn't bother them one bit? How do did they come by that? Certainly the Word of God didn't teach them that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes by to the Father but by me. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is that which cleanses from all sin and that defilement that touches the hearts and the lives of mankind. And yet, many of the things that are taught today circumvent, go around the cross. They avoid that encounter and teaching in the Word of God with what God has to say about the value of what His Son did upon the cross. You say, well, you know, that's just their opinion. And they are so sincere, sincerely wrong, and to their hurt. Here we have, which I believe at the verse starts, lessons that are divinely learned and never forgotten. Someone said that. I looked at it very carefully. Lessons that are divinely learned are never forgotten. You think about it. What the Spirit of God has taught you in the course of your Christian experience. Have you ever forgotten it? Here on the Lord's Day, we were hearing about the experiences of those in the seven churches, and the church at Ephesus did something. They forgot something. It says they left their first love. That's not the way it started out. But they left their first love. You be very careful. You be very careful when it comes to abiding and obeying what God says in His Word. It's all important. That next verse tells us He wants to be taught. But He says, give me understanding. Have you ever groped over a passage of Scripture or something in the Word of God and you say, Lord, I just can't seem to get the right perspective on this. Give me understanding and I shall keep Thy law. And that's a good prayer to pray. Lord, if You will just let me understand this, I'll do what You ask me to do. You know, sometimes children don't understand what the parent wants them to do. And the parent may be sometimes a little impatient in what they understand. Be very careful that you handle that child lovingly and carefully as you teach them things that are very important for them to live by in their life. Lord, if You help me to understand this, I will obey what You tell me to do. I will not deter from walking in the pathway of righteousness. Pathway of righteousness for Thy name's sake. You see, it's all important. I shall observe it with my whole heart. That thing keeps coming up more and more in the Word of God. I looked how many times it was mentioned. You know, God wants wholehearted children. People that profess to be Christians that seem to be very careless and indifferent to how important it is to obey the Word of God. Well, maybe not exactly the way I was supposed to do it, but not that important. It is important. It is important. You come to a fork in the road, and not like Yogi Bear said, take it. Come to the fork in the road, take it. Well, which way are you going to take? Listen. Obedience to what God has to say in His Word is all important. There's no substitute for obedience. Playing around with, toying with what it says, and sometimes reaching some different conclusion as to what you should do. Lord, give me understanding. That's a prayer. And I'll do it with my whole heart. You know, when you obey the Word of God, it has a sanctifying effect upon you. I believe that because it governs the way you walk. It governs the way you talk. It gets hold of you. And the will of God is achieved in your life. Understanding is given. You obey. And you're different. You are sanctified by the Word of God. And God is well pleased with you and all that would take that seriously, what He has to say. The whole heart. The whole heart. I think this prayer indeed is suitable for all of us. When we get down on our knees and we're praying, Lord, I want to obey what you tell me with my whole heart. I want to be a half-hearted Christian. With my whole heart. As much as I can possibly reason and understand, I will obey what you tell me to do. That's well-pleasing to the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Make me go in the path. Well, let me say this before I go on. I think it's important sometimes to say things. Sometimes we make a statement and then we say, repeat after me. If I say to you tonight, give me understanding, Lord. Say that. Everybody, say that. Give me understanding, Lord. Are you afraid to say it? Because if you don't do it, you're telling a lie. Say it. Give me understanding. And I shall keep thy law. Say it. And I shall keep thy law. I'll do what you tell me to do. That's important. And I'll do it with my whole heart. Say it. Praise God. If every one of us that has said that and said it and truly means it, you know, we'll be different. You'll be different. Whatever God does in speaking to me through his word as the Spirit of God, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. He will teach you. He will guide you in all truth. You'll be different. You'll be well-pleasing to the Lord. Here he says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. For therein do I delight, that delight that is brought out through obedience to the Word of God. Because I believe obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings blessing. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. Make me happy in my soul. Blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. He will be filled. He will be filled. Oh, there's so much value in obeying and do what God asks us to do. Incline my heart. This is a request. This man's not hedging. He's using words that are words of commitment to the Lord. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. I know recently when we were studying in the book of Colossians, and later on in the book of 1 Corinthians, one of the warnings that was given was about covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. It's equated with idolatry. It's substituting something else for what God has in mind for us. Oh, God, he meets all our needs. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Then we turn around and covet something that God doesn't want us to have. And you put something in the place of what God had planned and purposed for you and for me. Think about Judas Iscariot. A man that walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. A man that was with him. Watched him. Observed him. All the wonderful things that the Lord Jesus Christ did. He watched. He saw every bit of it. He knew how honest and true and faithful the Lord Jesus Christ was to the Holy Father. And yet he coveted. He was a covetous person. Look where he landed. Look where he ended up. Oh, God, have mercy. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. And quicken thou me in thy way. Isn't it a strange thing and sometimes painful to see people going after something that's empty and of no real value? Young people sometimes do this. Old people sometimes do this. Going after something in this life that it really has no true value. Think about all the things that people are living for this very day. They value so much the things of this world. And they can't take one bit of it with them where they're going. You go to heaven, you want to carry all your gold with you? Well, they'll say, we can use it, but we use it up here for paving streets with this. You see, things change so radically when we become in, we get in contact really with our God and the things that He values. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. That's what Psalm 23, verse 3 says. That pathway of righteousness that God puts our feet upon. Walk in it faithfully for His name's sake. We claim to be Christians. And don't let that be something that you are afraid to announce to the world. Sometimes I meet believers and they're so quiet, subdued about saying anything or being anything that is for the glory of God. I might suffer persecution. Yeah, you might. You might. Somebody might think I'm foolish. Someone might think I'm a silly person. The world today doesn't look very favorably upon people that are believers in Jesus Christ. No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't think too much about God. Take Him out of every aspect of our life. That's what this world is crying out for today. Take God out of the way we live. And all the while, this book that we have before us tonight and what we're reading and what we're thinking about, He's everything to us. This verse here, 38, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. To establish means to put in place a good solid foundation. Build your Christian life on a good salvation, on a good solid foundation. The Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Building your Christian faith upon the sands of passing time, the storms of adversity, and all the other things that may come along. It can sweep it away in a moment of time. Look how important all of this is. Yes, we do. We need confirmation sometimes. And I said this so often. And I tell you, it'll become very meaningful to you if you experience it. If you have contact with God in prayer and communion and fellowship, and you know He hears you, and you know He responds to what you've said, it will mean more to you than anything anybody's ever told you in this life. And I hope and pray that every person in this room, you have a contact with God. You have a contact with Him that is real. Not some mystical thing that I just talk about, but it never happens. Oh, God forbid. That confirmation that when I ask of Him, He hears me. And I have answers to my prayers. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. You know, when I read that, I thought immediately about the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He suffered. I wouldn't dare compare anything I've ever suffered in this life with what Christ suffered for me. God forbid. I'd be ashamed to. Ain't nobody on the face of this earth that has ever suffered the kind of reproach, that's ever suffered the way the Son of God has, for you and for me. And if you're down on your knees and you're praying and God is real and the Spirit of God is moving in your heart, you'll feel very ashamed if you ever recall any time that you thought
Oh, Lord, I'm suffering. You had a big old pity party, and you thought you were the only one. God help us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, his reproach, rejected of man, forsaken of God, and made sin for us, the one that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Quicken me in, make me alive, make righteousness as it is presented in the Word of God, something that is real to me. We're made righteous and fit for the presence of God by virtue of something that was done for us. And I trust we truly appreciate it. And like the psalmist, we lift up our hearts, our voices to the Lord. We praise and worship him for his goodness. We value his word. Faith comes by the word, and that word comes from God. And it's all important to obey. Obedience in the eyes of God is better than sacrifice.